Let's just take a moment to pray together again, and then we'll look at this passage. Father, would you just still us? Still us to hear you speak. May your Holy Spirit fill this place. May your Holy Spirit fill your servant. May the words I speak, Lord, be your words. And if anything is not right, Lord, that you will cast that aside. May hearts be open and ready to receive you. May lives be changed this morning, Lord, because people have encountered you. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't go into Belfast very often, but over the last few months I've had to be down in the town more because of committees and also because of General Assembly. And when I go into Belfast now, I normally park in Castle Court. Other car parks are available. I just happen to like it because it's a nice wee coffee run from right up through to Church House. But what I've found is I park in Castle Court and I come down and I come out the side door in Castle Court. And if you come out one of the side doors, it brings you on to Berry Street. And Berry Street is where Lee is based at Centre Church. It's the very first building that you see on your left as you come out through those doors. And normally when you come out past that Lee's church, there's either a young man or a young woman sitting up against the wall of it. And they're usually looking for change. Can you give me some change? Have you any money? Some days they're more coherent than others. If you walk past there and then walk on up into Queen Street and to Faith Mission, then outside Faith Mission is a lady who's selling the big issue. There's usually one of two women, one who never speaks and the other lady who talks all the time to you, and she will wish you God's blessing on your day and ask you how you are. But she's selling the big issue. And if you don't know, the big issue is a magazine that's sold for the homeless. And part of the revenue goes to those who sell it. If you walk past there, up past Church House or Assembly Buildings, heading up towards Starbucks, don't recommend it, but if you do go up that way, then there's a government building just before, don't know the name of it, just before it. And usually outside it is a young man sitting begging, asking for money. They are there no matter what the time of the year. They're usually there whether it's raining or if it's dry. They're there all the time. And you, like me, maybe have walked past them. Each one of them has a story to tell. Each one of them never set out in life to end up in that position, to end up sitting in that street begging. That was never their plan. But that is where they have found themselves. Blind Bartimaeus was just like these people. He had chosen a place to sit just outside of the city gates, but a place where people would have passed by, lots of people. And it may have been the case that his family would have brought him there in the morning and literally set him down outside the gates. It was a place with people passing by where there was an opportunity that he might get enough money that day that he could buy a meal. That he might get enough money that day to survive. Bartimaeus wore a label. In fact, he wore a number of labels, but the most noticeable label that he wore was the one that says, "I am blind." But other labels that he wore that day were, "I am jobless, I can't work. I am moneyless. I am without dignity." And so he sat at the city gate, a beggar kept to the outskirts of the town. He had grown up relying on the generosity of others to survive. His life was directionless. His life was without hope. His life was without meaning. And out of the three Gospels on the story of Bartimaeus, Mark is the only one who even gives him a name. The other two choose to simply refer to him as being a blind beggar. The folks I passed in the street sitting there have labels on them too. We put labels on them. We call them druggies. We call them alcoholics. We call them homeless. We call them hopeless. We say that they are somebody else's problem and not ours. And we say that they too are on the outskirts of society. We walk past them with heads down. We walk past them looking away. And we rarely engage with them. So thank God for men like Lee Eagleson, who encounter them on a daily basis and want them to know God. But in our story, this day was to be a day that was to be different for Bartimaeus. Today was a day when he was going to be noticed. Today was a day when the crowd wasn't going to walk on by and ignore him. Today was he was going to be heard. Because for today, for the first time, he had hope. Today, for the first time, he had something to shout about. And as Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd are making their way out of the city, and if you read the other Gospels, you may think some of them are saying he's coming into the city, some of them say Jesus is going out of the city. The reason for that is simple. There was two Jerichos. There was the Old Testament Jericho, and there was a new Jericho. So Jesus was between those two. And as he's going out, Bartimaeus begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus saw what others had not seen. The crowd referred to Jesus as being Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus refers to Jesus' true identity, the Son of David. If we call him Lord, we're expressing the sense of his deity, his dominion and power. But calling him the Son of David expressed faith that Jesus was the Messiah. And if he was the Messiah, then this is what he had come to do according to Isaiah. And this is what Bartimaeus longed for. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. To open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who are in darkness." This was Bartimaeus' opportunity for blind eyes to be opened. This was his opportunity to be free from the prison of blindness. This was his opportunity to move out of the dungeon that blindness had kept him in. But as he shouts, the crowd rebukes him. They tell him to be quiet, but he refuses. And he shouts all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus wasn't going to be stopped that day by others. He wasn't going to be afraid anymore. He wasn't allowing people to stop him getting to Jesus. I wonder how many people have been stopped from reaching out to God because of the comments of others. To some in the crowd, Bartimaeus wasn't worthy of speaking to Jesus. After all, he was just a beggar. And he was a blind beggar at that. And anyway, they wanted to hear Jesus. They wanted to hear what he was saying. And this guy kept shouting out, and they couldn't concentrate because he was shouting, "Just be quiet, Bartimaeus. He's not interested in you. We want to hear what he has to say." How many times have people felt that way? Felt that they couldn't call out to God? Felt that they weren't wanted by God? Some years back, a friend took his own life. In the lead up to it, a Christian spoke with him. And because of his lifestyle, the person told him, "There's no point in you praying because your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling." The day after that he took his life, I sat and wondered that night, did he not cry out to God because somebody told him there was no point? We need to be careful what we say to people. We need to be careful that we are not the ones who are stopping people reaching out to God. This was Bartimaeus' moment, and something incredible was about to happen. Because right there in the crowd, the Son of God stopped. Jesus, whose face was set towards Jerusalem, he was on his way to the cross. He was on his way to lay down his life for you and for me. He was on his way to take the sin of the world upon himself. And the Son of God stopped. He stood still. He stopped for a blind beggar sitting by the road. Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah, stopped. He made time for a blind beggar sitting by the road. You know, the gospel tells us of different times when Jesus stopped for people that others were passing by. He stopped with the woman at the well, when others wouldn't even go with her to draw water because of her reputation. He stopped and he sat with her and he talked with her and he led her to faith. He stopped for the woman caught in adultery. He sat on the ground writing in the sand as those around were intent on stoning her to death. He sat with her. He stopped for the woman with the issue of blood. He called her out from the crowd and he healed her. Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus. He stopped and he called him out from the crowd. Verse 50 says that throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. The only thing that Bartimaeus owned, a cloak that said, "I am a beggar," he throws aside. And he throws it aside because as he goes to Jesus, he knows, "I will never need this again. My days of being blind are over. My days of being a beggar are over." Standing before Jesus, Jesus asks him the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied, "Rabbi, I want to see." Was it that Jesus hadn't seen Bartimaeus but just heard his voice? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But once Bartimaeus was in front of him, Jesus knew that he was blind. Why ask such an obvious question? What do you want me to do for you? As I've thought about this week, this thought came to mind. Not everyone wants Jesus. They want what he can do for them, but they don't actually want him. In the midst of a crisis situation, they want healing. They want the money to pay the bills. They want the prodigal brought home. They want the marriage fixed. They can want what Jesus can do for them, but they don't want him. That's it. Bartimaeus, how he replied, was saying more than wanting his physical sight. His shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," was saying, "I know you are the Messiah." Saying, "Rabbi, I want to see." Saying, "Teacher, I want you to know." Bartimaeus was not just asking for his physical sight. He wanted the ability to see God. And the first thing he saw that day when his sight was restored was the face of God. The face of God standing before him. The literal translation of verse 52 is, "Your faith has saved you." What Jesus offered Bartimaeus that day was far more than he could ever expect it. And Bartimaeus' response was, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. He immediately put his newfound faith into action. Bartimaeus experienced four things. He experienced a change of focus. He moved from the darkness to the light. He had become a child of God. He had a purpose and a reason to live each day. He had a change of direction. He moved from sitting to following Jesus. He had a change of purpose. He moved from begging to praising God. And he had a change of life values. He had been blessed, and now he wants to bless others. Just like Bartimaeus, Jesus has stopped for you and I today. He has heard you calling, and he's calling to you today. The truth is that some of us have sat for a long time on the outskirts of the church. We've watched people coming and going. We have heard what has been said in here Sunday after Sunday. We have taken part in the singing. But the label that we are wearing has kept us on the outskirts of the church. For some of us, that label has been fear. Fear of what other people would say. Fear of what other people would think. And that label of fear has stopped us from coming to God. The label may be how your life is at the moment. And you've worn that label for so long that you think like Bartimaeus when the crowd were rebuking him, that you don't have a place here. But that's not the case. In fact, far from it. For today is your opportunity to change your focus, to move from darkness into light, to hear Jesus call your name and to respond to him this morning, to throw off everything that hinders you from coming to him, because you're not going to need it anymore. Allow Jesus this morning to set you free. Take the opportunity to come out of the prison that you have been living in and to take the shackles off you. Hear him call you. Today is your opportunity to change your direction, to move from sitting to following. And maybe you've known that he's the Son of David. Maybe you've known that he is the Messiah, but the labels that you have kept wearing day by day have stopped you from following him fully. Today, just as Bartimaeus threw off his cloak that marked him as a beggar, throw off whatever it is that holds you back. You don't need it anymore. That is not how God sees you. And today is your opportunity to change your purpose, to move from begging to praising. We have an amazing God who delights to meet and to speak with us and to listen to each one of us. A God who will walk with us no matter what we're going through. So today, lift up your head. Lift up your head and praise him for the almighty God that he is. He longs to share with you today. Today is your opportunity to change your life values, to bless others just as you have been blessed. And maybe today there's somebody in your circle of family or friends who just need you to reach out to them and be a blessing to them today. Maybe it's as simple as a phone call, as simple as giving them the time. Why don't each one of us take the time to bless somebody today? At the start of the service, we read from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Jesus still asks the same question today as he did over 2,000 years ago. And he stands in front of you and he stands in front of me. What do you want me to do for you? What will be your answer? Let's pray. Father, in this moment, help us to hear that question and to answer it to you.